Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
What's going on with jihad and now using children, but also, Steve, about this Saudi TV host that, I mean, the fact that she would speak up and be so bold as she was is pretty
very
amazing.
Courageous, yeah.
Talk to us, how did this happen?
Well, I mean, you know, listening to actually just what we're talking about right now, it's just like so many people have wanted to know, where are those that are speaking out against this terrorism? Where are those that are saying, you know, this is not right, this needs to stop?
We're Muslims.
Exactly.
Speaking out against this, right?
Well, there is actually a TV host from Saudi Arabia. Her name is actually Nadine, and she does this very thing. And you have to think about the fact that the culture of the Middle East right now and how they so just oppress women.
Yeah.
And to see this woman speak with such bold, courageous words, speaking out against these terrorist acts, it's just
this is refreshing.
Yeah. So we want you to watch this.
Whenever terrorism massacres peaceful civilians, smart alecks and hypocrites vie with one another in saying that these people do not represent Islam or the Muslims. Perhaps one of them could tell us who does represent Islam and the Muslims. We witness people competing in an attempt to be the first, to prove that everything that is happening has nothing to do with the Muslims and that the terrorists are highway robbers and homeless alcoholics and drug addicts. We all know that the number of the homeless in Europe is very high. They sleep in the streets and beg for alms. And some of them are alcoholics or drug addicts. But we do not expect these addicts or criminals to even consider coming here and blowing up a mosque or street in our city. It is we who blow ourselves up. It is we who blow up others. Why do we shed our own conscience? Why do the sheikhs, the pundits, the journalists, and all the Arab officials insist upon not using their conscience when they point to the perpetrators? Don't these perpetrators emerge from our environment? Don't their families belong to our society? Didn't anyone of you know someone from your city, a neighbor? Someone from your street, a relative, a nephew, a grandson, a father, or a mother? Go to Syria or Iraq to wage jihad. After the abominable Brussels bombings, it is time for us to feel shame and stop acting as if the terrorists are a rarity. We must admit that they are present everywhere, that their nationality is Arab, and that they adhere to the religion of Islam. We must acknowledge that we are the ones who gave birth to them, and we have made them memorize the teachings of all the Salafi books. We must admit that these are the schools and universities that we established that told them that the others are infidels. We must admit that we all, our different sects and faiths, the Sunnis and the Shia, adhere to the one school and one school only, the freezing of the mind school. Don't ask, don't think, don't resist orders. Welcome to the Arab Mashriq. We should acknowledge that it is our religious upbringing that has driven these youth away from the Quran and has drawn them closer to its interpreters, to the point that a Muslim now has only 1,000 holy books from which he draws fatwas and information, whereas the Quran has been made intellectually inaccessible. What makes us laugh and cry at the same time is that people who spilled the blood walk at the dead man's funeral and cry. The people who encouraged the terrorists invented fatwas for them and called them to support their false rights in Syria and Afghanistan and Pakistan. In the Philippines and Morocco and America and Egypt and Saudi Arabia and Lebanon and Africa, and the list is endless, with the last incident taking place in Europe. Now the old supporters of terrorism have the audacity to declare that they denounce bombings everywhere and that the killings of civilians constitutes an attack on the religion. Where are the sheikhs of yesterday? Why don't they have the courage to declare that they are the ones who said that jihad is obligatory and who legalized political wars using futile and disgraceful exeges, which permit killing, enslavement, and destruction?
Wow, this is so amazing and really refreshing, because this TV host, this reporter from Saudi Arabia, just kind of says it the way it is. She says, it's us. This is what we're doing, and it has to stop. And that's what it's going to take for Muslims in their own community say, you know, what is going on with the jihad? This thing has to be over with. And many are believing that we're going to see in our nation a 9/11 type of attack. We've already, you know, had an attack here recently in terms of what happened in San Bernardino, but one that involves a lot more people and a lot more damage. I mean, every life lost, every, you know, is a huge deal. But they're wanting to do mass, you know, terrorism en masse. And if they can, shut the nation down, I think, you know, if they could, they would.
Yeah. And we've had many reports, and we've talked about Kamal Saleem, who had said over 450,000, this is back in, I want to say, 2012 specifically, that are already in America. And you think about this, and it's just like, this is not to put someone one against the other. And it's just like, when you look at the book of Acts, remember Saul, he was a persecutor of the church and God moved mightily. And now we call him, his name is Paul, who pretty much wrote half the New Testament. So you think about it, it's just like God laid down his life for every single one of these who are waging jihad in the name of their religion. And so like, they're in America. Now we have the opportunity to share the gospel to them. We have the opportunity to tell them that Jesus Christ died for you and that he loves you too.
With that in mind, tell us what's going on with Pastor Stephen Curry.
Yes.
In Israel, right in Jerusalem.
Well, there are Arabs in Israel right now that are coming to Christ, which is such a significant event to understand. And there's people that are in Israel, like I said, who are receiving Jesus, and they want to know more about Jesus. But when you listen to him, I want you to listen to basically how you're continually still hearing people trying to demonize who Jesus is. You're trying to you're hearing people just smear who Jesus is and just blatant lie. So listen specifically to his name is Pastor Curry.
Hello and welcome to Ask the Source. I'm your host, Josh Reinstein, and we're here in a beautiful day in Jerusalem on our rooftop studio. My guest today is Pastor Steve Curry from Calvary Church in Jerusalem. Pastor Curry, thank you for being on the show. Pastor Curry, tell our viewers a little about what is Calvary Church in Jerusalem?
Our church consists of Arab believers who come from traditional Christian background, even from other faith on the Arab side of things, who want to learn more about the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who want to know more about the Christian faith, and want to learn, understand better how they can understand acceptance, tolerance, and forgiveness and love.
Pastor Curry, there's been a lot of misinformation about what's happening in the Middle East. Christians are under attack like never before. They're being slaughtered all over the region. Yet in Israel, the Christian population grows every year, unlike any other country here. Yet there's still condemnation about Israel regarding its Christian population. Where is this all coming from?
Sure, brother. You know, the way I answer this is, the way I answer this with Realm comparing Israel to the Middle East is that Christians in Israel are stable. Christians in Israel have stability. Christians in Israel have rights. They can travel. They can go back and forth. Christians within the land of Israel are looked at as human beings, regardless of what faith or what race they're from.
And what about the rest of the Middle East?
When you compare Israel to the rest of the Middle East, the problem you're facing is Christians are afraid to say they're Christians. Some Christians have to say they're Muslim just to simply go under the radar and to be able to get along with everybody else.
You know, 2 hours drive from here in Damascus, people are being slaughtered just for being Christians. They can either pay a bribe, they can convert to Islam, or they'll be beheaded. Those are the three options, yet you don't hear much about that. Why is there so much silence?
You know, Josh, the world, they try to compare some of the Christians in this land of community who live on the Judea Samaria West Bank community, they call them. They try to compare some of their struggles, which is traveling back and forth through roadblocks and checkpoints. They try to compare that to Christians who are being beheaded and slaughtered around the Middle East. Yes, there's some kind of troubles here that can be better resolved, better fixed. But you can't compare a Christian Arab in this land who has a minute problem with crossing paperwork when you're comparing it with a Christian 2 hours away who's being slaughtered and their daughters are being raped and kidnapped for being Christians. There's no comparison there. You cannot compare the two.
There's also a very alarming education being taught by the PA of revisionist history that Jesus was actually a Palestinian, that he was a Palestinian martyr, even though he was born hundreds of years before the creation of Islam. Why are people buying into this?
You know, I tell people, it's a good question, Josh. I tell people, I really don't care what somebody portrays someone to be. I really don't care what somebody draws an image of somebody who he is just to support a cause. We have to look at the facts. Jesus was from the tribe of Judah, from the seed of Jesse. Mary was a Jew. Joseph was a Jew. Jesus was a Jew. This is not a political statement. This is a biblical, factual statement. And Jesus' allegiance was to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His allegiance was to his Judaic Christian roots, Judaic roots, we must say. So whatever somebody tries to portray it, it's a silly narrative to support a political cause. And I don't like that. I personally resent that, because Jesus Christ was never a politician. He was a man that taught people to go and seek after the heart of the Father. And that is my answer to that.
Well, it's even worse than that, I would say, because in Bethlehem, where the Christian community since the PA took control has been decimated from 70% to something like 5 to 6%, they're actually having conferences called Christ on the Checkpoint, where American pastors are coming in, all magnanimous, saying, oh, you know, we got to help Christians in Israel, when really it's the Christians in the PA that are the victims. How are they doing this?
That is the differentiation that we have to understand. That's why I said earlier is that you have to differentiate Christians living within Israel, and then Christians living within the West Bank, Judea, Samaria, and some call it the Palestinian community. We have to differentiate the two, because an Arab Christian, Israeli Arab Christian, or Palestinian Israeli Arab Christian, whoever somebody wants to, whatever the narrative is, that lives within the Israeli border, under Israeli government, they have the right to go to a police station and complain about a Jew, or even complain about other neighboring Arab. In the Palestinian community, Christians in the Palestinian community, they look around them and they realize, like you had mentioned, that the pendulum has completely swapped from 75 to 80% at one point Christian to today, when you lump Bethlehem within the community, to less than 20% within, when you add all the cities combined within the city of Bethlehem. So when you approach this, the dilemma is that the Palestinian community have to understand that to be able to cry to the world for help, they have to first start to help each other from within.
Pastor Corey, there are literally tens of millions of people watching this show. What message do you have for our viewing audience?
My message to the viewing audience is, if God chose this land, and he upon the whole globe, the universe that we live in, he chose this piece of property for us to be in, for his to be his promised land, then why did it not be your promised land? So I want to challenge you to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Pray for the peace, for they shall prosper, that bless thee. Pray for the people group in this land. When you pray for the Jews, you also pray for the Arabs, because the problem that lies within, it's a heart issue. So you cannot love the Arab and hate the Jew. That's not biblical. That's not right. And neither is the opposite. My message to you is to come visit Israel, to pray for Israel, pray for the Jewish people, pray for the Christian community, pray for the Arab community, that the hearts of the people here might be changed, so that we can see a united land, a united country with the heart of the Father.
That is so, so good, because you know what? We begin to start seeing ourselves not as global citizens, as global Christians. Listen, God wants every single person on the face of the earth to know him, whether they're Arab, whether they're Jewish, whether they're from Asia, no matter Africa, no matter where they're from, God wants every man to be saved. And so we, it's not a political thing. It's very simple. Heaven full, hell empty. That's it. That's the goal. Everyone to know Jesus Christ, every person, and pray in that way.
You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN-TV and the Daily Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFNTV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFNTV and the Daily Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light.